In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is going to be a Pentecost sermon like one perhaps you've never heard before. Because today, on the Feast of Pentecost, this is about the Spirit coming in with a rush of a mighty wind, about this mighty wind being poured upon us, taking over our very speech. You can only just imagine. I guess you had a little taste of it with our gospel reading today, that you're visiting from another country, not expecting to understand a thing, and suddenly there's someone speaking in your own language. And they're speaking exactly what you've always wanted to hear, and you believe it. It's about this active, alive God moving in and among and through us and setting the world ablaze with God's love. So what's different about today's sermon today is that I'm going to talk about the importance of the spiritual practice of rest and why it's critical to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our life. Why, actually, it was probably critical for that day of Pentecost to even happen in the first place. So what is rest? Rest is quiet, refreshing, repose or sleep, an ease or inactivity after an exertion of labor. So it seems on the surface, with all this activity on the day of Pentecost, that the practice of rest would be antithetical to the coming of the Spirit. For these past weeks in Eastertide, we've been exploring the way of love, practices for a Jesus-centered life. We began with what it means to turn, to pause, listen, and choose to follow Jesus. And then the practices unfolded over these past weeks. We learn, pray, worship, bless, go, and then finally we rest. Now the practice of resting in Christian life means that we receive the gift of God's grace, peace, and restoration. When was the last time you experienced God's peace and grace and restoration when you were on the move? When you were making sure to run that one last errand? When you're making it to a meeting on time or standing in line at the grocery store? When you were running around as a little child before your nap? Was the Spirit at work? The thing is, the Spirit is there, is in all of the activity of our day-to-day lives, whether we think it is or not, whether we want it to be or not. But in order for us to see the Spirit active in our daily lives, there needs to be some space for us to receive it. Not that the Spirit's presence is dependent on you making space for it, but when we do intentionally make space for God, when we rest in God's presence, God proverbially tills the soil of the ground of our being. And we're made ready for a fruitful planting and harvest. When we make room for the Spirit here in this place, it sets into motion room for the Spirit to move in the life of the church and in all of our lives. So this morning in the gospel, we encounter Philip. Philip is a man who has a hard time with the practice of rest. And Philip is insisting upon seeing the Father. Now, Philip and all of the disciples, you can imagine their minds were very busy. They've given their life to this. They followed Jesus. And they thought it was one thing, and it wound up being something completely different. Their minds are chaos. And this is how Jesus responds in both instances. Hey guys, just take it easy. You don't know the time or place when the Spirit's going to come. but I'm going to send it. And the advocate will be there to guide you and to show you the way. Now, Jesus says at the beginning of the gospel, when Philip insists on seeing the Father, his question is filled with anxiety and chaos about the future. And Jesus asks, have I not been with you all this time, and you still do not know me? And Jesus essentially calls upon Philip, calls upon each of us to rest. Jesus is calling upon us to stop and remember what we already know. Philip's demanding of Jesus. He says, listen, here's what I need to know God. I need it to be this way. Here's how it's going to work for me. And Jesus says, no, you listen, Philip. You already know the Father because you already know me. And I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit into your life so you can see it. You can see how the Holy Spirit is your advocate. He reminds Philip, who desperately wants clarity about how to understand God in his life. He reminds him that God already abides with him. And this advocate, this Spirit, will not only become clear to him, but already is with him, already is in him, in the midst of the chaos, in the wandering mind. We think of the Holy Spirit rushing in, coming at this particular moment in history. And the theologians have been adamant. First the Father, then the Son, and then the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. We proclaim it. We're proclaiming it today after this sermon. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. But here's Jesus making it clear today in the gospel that the Holy Spirit always has been. From that Spirit brooding over the waters of creation to the breath you and I are breathing in this very moment. And it's our willingness to rest in an awareness of God, to rest in our relationship with Jesus, that reveals the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, in and among us. So here's the thing that happens when we take a moment to rest in the presence of God. Resting in God means grounding ourselves in the reality that God is with us here and now, just as we are. Leaving behind those tasks we had at work, leaving behind some device, maybe even putting it in a basket by the door before getting out and about. It's really about being able to drop down into that quiet place where we become aware. You know, if you're going to do a moment of silence, we have a moment like this after each sermon in here. And the bulletin reminds us that a period of silent reflection follows the sermon. So I finish my sermon and sit down. You hear that first wave of no one talking up front. And then after 15 seconds or so, you get this experience where you feel the whole group drop down into this next level of quiet. And then after maybe 30 seconds or so, you get this experience where you feel everyone sink into the presence of God. If you wait long enough, beyond the rustling of the papers. And there's this place, even when children are making noise, where there's a quiet beyond that noise, where we rest in the presence of God. But being able to enter into that kind of rest, that takes practice. I actually believe it was critical for the disciples to rest, to practice abiding in God before the whirlwind of following Jesus, of witnessing his death, of seeing him in the flesh after the resurrection, and of watching him ascend into the clouds. And after all of this, they found themselves in Jerusalem, where they committed themselves to making space, to resting in the work of worship and waiting. And that's when they gathered together all in one place. And the wind filled the room, and a fire rested on them, and all those languages set the place ablaze. And I wonder, would they have recognized it had they not first made space within themselves? If they had given their thoughts over to their restlessness and their fretfulness and their concerns, would they have seen it? They gathered together in one place. Would they have experienced the miracle of everyone hearing and understanding the words spoken in their respective languages and understandings? Would 3,000 people have been baptized that day were it not for a handful of faithful, committed people willing first to abide in, to trust in, to rest in God? We're preparing in the coming year to embark on the work of discerning our mission and our vision at Calvary. I can tell you remarkable stories of ways that the Holy Spirit has worked in the lives of congregations who came out on the other end of this kind of work. But today we're at the beginning. We're gathered together in one place, like the very first members of the church did 2,000 years ago when the church was born. So today, I'd like to first invite us, before we see or even able to see the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst, to the important practice of Jesus-centered rest. How might we as a community together trust in, rest in, root ourselves in, abiding in God? So let's start with the silence, that period of relative quiet following the sermon today. The restlessness in the first moments when there's nothing going on except for us to be together gradually sink into a deeper kind of listening, a deeper awareness. And that's how we begin to listen to God. If we start there, if we keep being willing to go deeper into our abiding in God's presence, our rest with God, then we are assured that by our rest, by our making space, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, is the one who does the heavy lifting. The incredible, rushing wind, fiery kind of work that will be much more palpable when we gather together the next time in one place. Amen.